bylaws amendments, as well as contact information for the Pacifica National Board if you have opinions you'd like to share about the proposed bylaws amendments. Again, that's pacifica.org. And if you didn't get a chance to pledge during this recent membership campaign, visit kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored KPFT Houston.
Здравствуйте. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT, comrade.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Yes, I'm talking to you. You there, in your finest underwear, sitting at home, eating Cheetos. I'm talking to you. I'm calling you.
Pick up the phone.
I'm calling you. It's coming from inside the house.
You know, Flicted has stage fright, so he likes to imagine our listeners in their finest underwear.
Eating Cheetos.
Are we calling Pete? Or
Peter, what are you doing?
I was calling Peter.
Hello.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Barrett has the SARS. He has tape plague, as he said in his email. So...
We don't want him in here with us. That's for sure.
No, we don't. So as it is, I have to board the tube of... The disease tube
tomorrow. Right. That's right. And you're in the disease tube for what? That's like a...
That's like 9 hours.
9 hours breathing other people's germs.
Breathing recirculated filth.
One of the most disgusting chapters in... I think it's in one of the...
Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
No. Dr. Seuss?
Nope. Worse. It's in one of the Hannibal Lecter books.
50 Shades of Grey?
Twilight?
Hannibal
Lecter,
the whole thing. Who purports to have a very highly evolved sense of smell, describes what it's like for him being on an airplane. And it's just like, it makes you never want to get on an airplane again.
With Hannibal Lecter.
Particularly not with Hannibal Lecter, yes.
Well, at least you know you're not—you're too filthy to be eaten.
Yes, it's disgusting.
No, it's pretty horrifying. So,
and you're going to be on one.
Yeah. 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 Fortunately, I still have somewhat of a hardy immune system. Not the not as good as it used to be. But.
Take the aisle seat, Clarice.
With a nice fava bean.
Yes. All right. Well, welcome to the show, and we're glad you could tune in. It's starting to get a little chilly out there, which is nice. This cooler weather is awesome, so curl up next to the radio and warm your hands on the Technology Talk as we bring you another episode of Technology Bites. You can visit us online at geekradio.com. That is our website. There you can subscribe to our podcasts, and you can also submit questions and comments using the contact form if you so desire. We also have a link to the IRC. We hang out on Internet Relay Chat on the channel Tech Bites. The server is irc.cuckoo.com, irc.cuckoo.com, or just use the client on the website to join in. And it's the show within a show, if you are so inclined to participate that way. And that's pretty much it. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air later on in the show.
We should also note that this week and this Friday is not the Geek Gathering. It's the following Friday. I've had several people ask me, oh, is the Geek Gathering this weekend?
And you have to tell them
to
no.
Tell them, no, it's not. It's December 7th.
And why is that?
Because it's the first Friday of the month, and this is one of those annoying months where Friday is the last day of the other month. So
that's why.
We hate that.
Yes. Because we want to have the, want to get to the Geek Gathering. We're like, do it.
You know? But we have to wait.
But this means we'll have the Geek Gathering on a day that will live in infamy.
That's right, December 7th.
That's
yes,
true.
Yes.
You can just pretty much come and bomb our gathering.
That's right.
Oh,
There'll
no.
be a lot of Japanese taking over with all the technology, you know, all of our Samsung phones and iPhones.
That's Korean.
I was going to say, but I thought that was a, I thought that was a Vietnamese part of town.
It's. I'm not going to say anything, as I would just get myself in worse trouble. All right, so I guess what we'll do now, we will let you also know that this is one of those frustrating episodes where there won't be a Barrett time.
And next
so,
week,
so you may want to just tune out now.
This we've already done the best we're going to do. So
that's
it's
as
only
good
downhill
as it gets.
From there.
Well, the news, and then it's downhill from there.
Unless the Skype connection's bad, and then it's downhill from there.
Yikes. All right, so what we're going to do now is go to the reliable and trusty Skype connection to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites Info Shot with Peter Hughes. Take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, while you probably didn't notice while you were having, you know, Thanksgiving and that kind of stuff, you almost lost some rights, and now you got them, now you haven't lost them, and that's the news. You know, Patrick Leahy's bill that intended to deliver warrantless email access for American internet users to the U.S. government has been shelved. Hooray. The senator said in a press release that his latest amendments to the bill will adhere strictly to protecting privacy as opposed to the exact opposite. Nice. The bill no longer includes the intention of allowing more than 22 agencies, including the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Federal Communications Commission, to access Americans' private emails as well as their Google Doc files, Facebook wall posts, and Twitter direct messages without a search warrant. Leahy, who inexplicably is chairman of the Senate Judiciary, although now that he's, like, fixed it, maybe that explains why he should stay, had responded to the bill amended last week by abandoning his proposal and stressing he remains committed to protecting privacy rights for American citizens. He was for it before he was against it. He says, I hope that all members of the committee will join me in supporting the effort in Congress to update this law to protect Americans' privacy. Privacy groups and industry representatives are now set to vote on the revised proposal, which is due for a committee vote on Thursday. The amendment bill, quote, protects the central privacy provision that we put forward, says Christopher Calabresi, legislative counsel for the ACLU. So strike a, there's a blow for freedom for Thanksgiving, something you can be thankful for. The Large Hadron Collider. No, this isn't about the God particle, the Higgs boson. Instead, apparently, after orchestrating 2 million collisions between lead nuclei and protons, the collider's compact muon solenoid group and researchers at MIT suspect that stray linked pairs of gluon particles in the mix were signs of color glass condensate, a currently theory-only form of matter that sees gluons travel in liquid-like quantum entangled waves. The clues aren't definitive. Maybe the Large Hadron Collider should be the not definitive collider, because you get clues about this stuff, but you never actually know that they're not definitive, but they were also caught unexpectedly as part of a more routine collision run. The team is curious enough that it's looking for more evidence during weeks of similar tests in January. Any conclusive proof of the condensate would have an impact both on how we understand particle production in collisions, as well as the way gluons and quarks are arranged inside protons. So all of you people who have been wondering about how gluons and quarks are arranged inside protons may have some answers. This also would justify CERN's giant underground rings, because, you know, this is important stuff that people have been looking for. Speaking of important stuff people have been looking for, shipments of both the iPad mini and the iMac are expected to be constrained throughout 2012. Throughout the rest of this year. So hopefully that means in the spring it'll get better. But for both cases, the display production is the limiting factor, you know, because they're doing fancy stuff. For the iPad mini, the panels have reportedly seen low yield rates, especially from one of Apple's suppliers. So as a result, Apple may only reach 6 million of its target of 10 million iPad minis for between now and, let's be honest, between now and Christmas, between now and the end of the year. Meanwhile, the newly announced iMacs will also see constrained supplies due to issues with iMac panels from LGD. So you know who to blame. Company's had to develop a new production process for mass producing the iMac panels and has limited capacity, which is delaying shipments. On the plus side, if you want to get one of the new skinny iMacs, of course, you always look at it at the front, so I don't know how different it's going to look to you. But anyways, that will go on sale on Friday, November 30th, but the 27-inch model won't start shipping until December. Let's see. So the 21-inch will go on sale this Friday, and then sometime after that, the other one will. It's like the one is going in November. Why didn't they just say, I don't know, later? Anyways, here is a totally pointless app. You know, when if you've got a friend who's posting annoying content, you know, on Twitter, there's the thing, like, there's an app called Twitter Doghouse where you can put friends in a temporary suspension so you don't see their tweets during a certain time frame. For instance, you know, if you're trying to avoid spoilers about something, or they're talking about something you don't care about, you know, politics or some other thing that you don't want to see, you can do that. Well, somebody came up with a useless one for Facebook. It has users fill out a form explaining why they want to, quote, dislike their friends temporarily, along with evidence in the form of links, photos, or quotes, and the number of hours of defriendion. Yeah, that's, it's spelled defriend, T-I-O-N, defriendion, like a timeout. You want them to serve. When you put your friends in this virtual detention, the app posts a message to their wall and timeline, as well as the news ticker. So, unfortunately, it doesn't actually cut their junk from your news feed. So instead, what that really means is this app will let you irritate the people who are posting things that were already bothering you in one way or another. So I'm sure that will lead to them posting less. But if you want, you can download this thing and just torque off the people you don't want to listen to, instead of adjusting their settings in Facebook, or if they're that bad, defriending them the real way. But we'll just, I just thought I'd put that out there just to give the useless, lame apps a chance. Some other interesting news. This one, you know, every mobile carrier wants to get rid of their old voice systems. You know, there's right now there's a clear distinction between the voice systems that you make your cell phone calls over and the data systems. So they, of course, want to go to voice over IP-based systems on their 4G networks, because then they can just make the pipes bigger and bigger, you know, and focus on that to improve their to improve their systems. And it's just you, and voice is becoming a smaller and smaller part of the system, so they can, you know, stick it in a corner of their 4G data pipe and just make the pipe as big as they want and have plenty of room for more data stuff. Well, wireless testing and measurement vendor Spirent Communications has identified a little problem with voice over LTE. It consumes twice as much power as a traditional 2G call, which has some implications for mobile phone battery life. Oops. They conducted trials on a commercial voice over LTE enabled network in two U.S. cities, comparing power consumption of voice over IP calls made over LTE against the power used by the same carrier's CDMA systems. They didn't name the carrier, but it's not hard to guess. Figure out who uses CDMA and you probably got it. The result of the tests should give carriers and consumers pause. The average power consumption for a 10-minute call on the CDMA circuit switched network was 680 milliwatts, while the average consumption for a voice over LTE call the same duration was 1358, which is double. So it means that it would cut the amount of talk time down in half. Spirent estimated that on a full charge, its test smartphone could support 502 minutes of talk time using CDMA only, but that the same charge would only deliver 251 minutes of talk time on the 4G network. And that's with the other data communications turned off. So that's just the voice part cutting it down. And of course, that's going to kill your battery that much quicker versus your, versus before, because you'd also be using data at the same time. They did find that when the phone is used to make simultaneous voice and data calls, that LTE performed better than CDMA when you're doing simultaneous voice and data calls. It used slightly less energy because, of course, it didn't have to power two radios. But certainly this means that there's a little more time and a little more work needs to be done for VoIP over LTE instead of CDMA, okay? And the last couple things, I messed up the order on some of this, regardless, it's all news. It all just mixes up in your stomach, in your brain. It all just mixes up together and kind of blurs together, right? 'Tis the season for bold pronouncements with few numbers attached. Already this week, we've had Amazon make its statement of how its latest Kindle is nearly double another figure they won't tell you, you know, from last year. And now Microsoft has joined in. At the company's shareholder meeting today, CEO Steve Ballmer said that Windows phone sales are four times what they were a year ago. But since he didn't tell you how many phones they sold then, or a specific time period, it is a total guess as to how many phones they actually are selling. The number could well be good news for Microsoft. While last year's sales were pretty dismal, they weren't insignificant. They weren't, you know, it wasn't like they sold four and this year they sold 16. Certainly growing fourfold is the kind of thing Microsoft needs to do if it hopes to become a serious player in the smartphone market, but it's not a great sign when they don't say the numbers. So they quadrupled whatever their numbers were last year. That's got to be comforting, I'm sure, to all you fans. And finally, on new stuff, you know, I try to have a new thing, and of course, we're finally coming up on where the CES stuff, you know, the early CES stuff starts coming out, and here's a good one for oh, you know, it'd be okay for your home use. I don't know about, you know, real work, but they've talked about IGZO based LCD panels for displays for a few years. That's been kind of out there. There were rumors about that as a possibility for like the iPad mini on little ones. They're finally starting to appear in some real usage. The latest on the docket is Sharp's new monitor built for professional use with 4K resolution. Now, the 4K thing for TV, we've talked about that a bit. You know, that's come up. There have been some products. This is intended for a monitor for you to use on your desk. It's 4K resolution is 3840 by 2160. So it's, I guess, kind of retina, I guess, if it was Apple. Plus, it has HDMI and DisplayPort inputs, and what Sharp claims is the industry's thinnest frame at 35 millimeters thick. The price right now, since this is new and spectacular and has high resolution, is about $5,500. But when it debuts in February 2013, it's probably a little pricey for most people's desks. And so it's looking like, you know, one thing it is looking like is that this is something for the future, that we're seeing them in phones and tablets and monitors overseas, and that there may hopefully be plenty of these high pixel density yet power sipping panels, getting U.S. release dates at CES in January. And that's the news.
All right. Back to the show. Are you going to CES this year?
No, I'm not.
No?
No, I'm not. This would be the second year I haven't gone, and I didn't kind of miss it last year. Didn't go last year.
Didn't go last year.
Nope.
Didn't really miss it.
I don't. You know, I think you can almost, as connected as everything is, I think you can almost do a better job covering it from afar than being there and dealing with the logistics and the madness and so forth. So I just put the important stuff in my blog, and it's possible our colleagues at San Francisco Chronicle may go, but I'm staying home.
I'm going to translate from Dwight to reality. That means they're going to stick a webcam on a Roomba, and he's going to have to watch it.
I'm down with that.
And tweet it. Live tweet it.
Live tweet
it. Here at CES.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm tired already, so I want to go home and go to bed. I'm worn out. I've been stressing the last several days, just getting ready to go and want everything to go smooth. And I think I got all my ducks lined up, rode perfectly, and I think I can sleep now.
Griefhouse and I are conducting an experiment on your last evening here.
I just love playing the role of guinea pig for one of your experiments.
It's kind of like an Aperture Laboratories experiment.
I don't know what that is.
What's Aperture's laboratory? Talking about survival research?
You wound me.
You're not talking
you wound me.
You're not talking about survival research laboratories, are you?
No, Aperture Laboratories.
Survival research laboratories. Wow.
I'm also not talking about Umbrella Corp.
Umbrella Corp?
Yeah.
So do I get to know?
Do y'all know Umbrella Corp?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
The Survival Research Laboratories was like the original, like the punk robotics. Isn't that who those were? Mm-hmm. The ones that did all the crazy
robotic stuff.
Aperture is Aperture Science. Aperture is from Portal.
Mm. I never played Portal.
I didn't either.
You should play Portal. It's good.
Okay. And do I get to know what the experiment on the last day that I'm here is? Or is it something like you've got to bet on how many times I'm going to do a certain thing?
There will be cake.
The cake.
Sorry,
is
that's
a lie.
All. That's also Portal.
I don't have to have played Portal to know that because I was forced to understand the T-shirt.
I cast magic missile. isn't cake is a lie?
A Rolling Stones song?
No.
Bad Company.
No. It's a Rolling Stones cover. Half-Life. Isn't that from Half-Life? The cake is a lie?
No.
It's Portal.
It's Portal.
In Half-Life 2, as you're going through the on the train, as you go to start to play the game, someone has written on the wall the cake is a lie.
That's not surprising, but...
It may have been lifted, but it's from Porter.
So it's because like an homage, it's a...
It could be an homage.
Who's the people that make Orange Box Portal was on? Whoever makes that. Anyway, I'm pretty sure they make Half-Life.
So back
also.
To my question. Yeah.
Half-Life is Valve.
Yeah, that's who makes Portal. Mm-hmm.
What's funny is in the game that I'm playing, Borderlands 2, there's custom heads you can get for your character. So like when you're playing along and you're looting stuff and you're finding loot, one of the things is a head mod. So you go to this machine in the main town and you can actually change out your costume and stuff. But if you have these head mods, you can turn your head into look like special. There's certain, some of them are, I guess, apparently are rare, more rare than others. But there's one that looks like, what's the block game?
Minecraft.
There's a Minecraft head. So,
Steve,
you know,
a Steve cool. Mine.
There's a, and Steve yeah. Head. And also there's in that game. Is it that game?
That'd be cool if they had the creeper head in it.
They may. I don't know.
The creeper head is from Minecraft. It's the green with the... That's all blocky, but you know, eyes and mouth. Creeper's the thing that blows up like when it gets near you. It's a green thing.
If it was this game or it was another game... Oh, it's this game. There's a scene where you have to go fight these. You have to fight these creatures, and you realize when you're fighting them that there's seven dwarves and a Snow White character. There's another one where you have to deliver pizza to three creatures that are named for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. So back to my question
there's four.
What's the score?
There's four mutant ninja turtles.
Four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, four. So, back to my question. What's the score?
It's not keeping score. It's just an experiment.
An experiment. How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going all right.
It's pretty neat, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Do I get to know ever?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is it going to hurt my feelings?
No.
No.
I hope not. It is. You're too
thin skin. I'm pretty thin skin. All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Now I'm hyper aware of what I'm saying. And doing.
You don't have to be.
I don't have to be because there's no escape.
The awesome thing is that the more aware you are and modify what you say and how you say it, the better the experiment works.
Awesome. That makes complete sense. That makes total sense.
It's really, really cool, though. I mean...
You would appreciate it if you were us.
That's what counts.
Yeah, if you weren't on the receiving end of this joke,
you'd be a lot better. It'd be a lot funnier.
We're not laughing with you, man. But if you were laughing with us...
Let's tell him because I like it. We can only do it if Barrett's not here.
No,
it's not true.
No.
How would it be? Can you tell me how it would be different if Barrett was here without giving it away?
It could still be done if he was here.
713-526-5738.
No, we were going to tell you, but now he's got to take a call.
Yes, take a call.
Oh, well, you're off the hook for now, I suppose. All right, Groovehouse is going to the phones to answer the incoming call. My response to this may or may not feed into the sick game that they're playing.
Well, it doesn't. Huh? Well, it doesn't? I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know anything about it. Okay. I just kind of... I'm curious. A question was asked... If we scored any big Black Friday or Cyber Monday deals.
Oh, yeah.
Both of us said no, that we didn't.
We didn't even really look.
No. I mean, I actually was poking around looking for... I'm kind of have the urge to rebuild my homebrew Windows box. And so I started poking around at prices on... I'm looking kind of at... I want to replace everything, and I don't like to get, like... high. I don't want like the fastest Core i7 processor. I don't want a state-of-the-art motherboard. I kind of want something in the middle, which is what I did before. And my hardware right now will do fine. It runs everything that I throw at it. It does great. But I started looking at like mid-priced video cards, and I'm thinking, what is the least I could get away with and get something that you could say, hey, that's a fast machine? So I'm kind of playing around with that. So I did do some snooping a little bit.
But I would imagine that being in a position where you say, okay, it's time to build a computer, and I kind of know what I want,
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to hold off and see, you know, and go scrounging for those deals and on components necessarily. If something was to spring up and say, oh, you know, motherboards half price or processors.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't move forward. I'm paralyzed until I've researched all these sales. When the person asked us that question earlier, I said, you know, I didn't really even look. And that's kind of a lie. I mean, I said, all right, well, if I was interested in getting something, where would I get it from? Okay, let's see if Best Buy has anything, and see if Sony has anything. And neither one really had anything. So that was it. You know, nothing. I figure the really, really good deals, if there are any good deals, is you have to camp out for it. You have to be up at midnight when it goes live to
right,
get it.
Right.
Other than that, it's not a good deal. You know, I mean, you're not going to get save that much money. And I don't know that any amount of savings is worth pitching a tent
no,
in front of Best Buy.
No. I mean,
staying up to go online for the Cyber Mondays, I guess.
Right. I was looking around at places like Newegg, and I kind of looked at the Fry's circular in the paper and was looking kind of at that. And what was interesting is the prices that I saw that were like deals on stuff that I wanted were not that much better than like any sale that you might find any time during the week. That may have been what I was looking at. You know, I did see like a 46-inch TV for $399 at you know, the Fry's ad. I didn't need that. But I saw a pretty decent 6400 family Radeon HD graphics card for $50. That's pretty good. That's could like you, a generation back, but it's but that's
but
a pretty
could
good
you
call.
Not repeat that deal if you looked, say, in a month?
Right, right. I think I could probably have done. I'd come close to that, you know.
Right. I mean, if somebody is offering up, you know, a TV that's normally $500 for $300, mm-hmm. maybe that's kind of a good deal. But my inclination is that TV will show up in another month or so,
right.
or a better one
right.
for that price.
Yeah, that price, the Fry's one did not have, like, built-in internet. You know, it didn't have right. built-in Wi-Fi, so you couldn't stream it. It was strictly a TV. So there's a reason why it was that
right.
price.
There's a reason. They find something that is and it's usually the feature set is reduced. It really ends up being kind of worth what they're asking for.
Right.
Or it's not that great a deal. But it seems like it, and people buy into that hype, I think, unfortunately.
See, that's a loss leader.
I don't like crowds or getting up early. So, yeah, I pretty much just have to walk into something. I did make one Black Friday purchase because the sale was still going on Saturday. I was at Home Depot helping my brother buy some Christmas lights, and they had LED mag lights for half price, the two D cell ones. So I went ahead and picked up a couple because that was a good price.
But you're already there.
Yeah,
you
I was
saw
there.
Something that you wanted. Is it a price you were?
I had been planning
to
on buying one, but I didn't want to pay $30
yeah.
for it. It was half price, so yeah, I went ahead and bought a couple.
Yeah. All right, so we got some calls in the queue.
Yay.
By the way, since you're not on IRC, I went ahead and told everybody on IRC what the experiment is.
Nice.
So they've known for the last few minutes.
And so is it like a drinking game or something? Like every time Jay does such and such?
No.
Have you seen the movie Gaslight?
No.
Okay.
You don't know what it is either, so.
No, but I just have you seen the movie Gaslight?
No, I haven't. Why are you asking?
Now he's paranoid about everything.
Yes.
So, you know, Groove can tell if you want.
What?
You said you wanted to tell him.
I do.
Well, we got these calls, though.
We do have some calls in the queue.
Keep finding excuses. I'm okay with that. All right. Chrome does not support Java 7. All right.
What about Krampus? Does he support Java 7?
I'm going to bring, you know, I was going to bring gifts back for everyone. I still am because I'm
Well, this experiment's pretty cool, so you may bring better gifts back.
All right, Groomhouse?
Yes.
If you could put the experiment aside for a moment.
Yes, we'll do.
Who is up?
All right, up first on the show.
You can do it.
Yeah, we can do this. Let's do this.
All right. Who is it?
Up first on the show, we're going to speak with Dave.
Dave, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I miss you guys. I've been overseas for 2 years, and you come back and you're the first ones I hear right on time.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We are your anchor.
Right on time. Hey, I had a question. I'm probably sure you got it a million one times.
Okay.
My computer, of course, I have Windows, and it updates itself with the new security and all that stuff every so often. I just wanted to know, when it does that update, does it get rid of the old crap that was on there, or does it just keep adding?
What Microsoft Update will do is it will take a little snapshot. Every time you install the update, it keeps the install files there and maybe a little information about how your system was configured previously so that you can uninstall it. So as you are adding updates, your computer does fill up with what some would consider rather unnecessary information. It's not an overwhelming amount, and it can come in handy to be able to back out of an update if it causes you a problem. But I will say, in the last 20 years, the number of times I've had to uninstall an update, is I could count on two hands.
Right on time. Okay, I just wondered because it seemed as though my computer gets slower and slower. I do not download a lot of things. I don't add a lot of things to my computer, so...
Do you run maintenance? Do you run maintenance on your computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, sometimes, you know, the things that are going to slow your PC down the most are usually like runaway antivirus programs, if you've got a really bloated antivirus program or security software on there. Some people think there's no big deal opening up 20 tabs in a web browser, and sometimes that can bog you down.
All right. Well, right on time. Hey, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, bye. All right. Although it's probably too little too late, I am grabbing an IRC client because the web client's not working for me. But I'm sure it's not going to help me. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
What's the phone number?
It's 713-526-5738.
That's the number to call if you want to be on the air. We have two calls in the queue.
Yes, we do.
We have open lines aplenty, and the experiment is ongoing. So who's up next?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Craig.
Craig, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Is that me? It kind of made a funny noise there.
That's you, Craig.
Thank you. I've got you a question about getting a laptop computer, and I know very little about them. I've got to get one for my spousal unit, and I have to kind of guess what she needs, and I'm coming to y'all for help. Where can I look at an objective comparative analysis between them and the different brands? And also, she doesn't want me to spend any more than about $600, so I certainly can't get a higher-end one. Any suggestions?
One is think about how you're going to use it. What is it you want to accomplish with it? Because that makes it fairly easy to zero in on some models that would make sense for you.
Okay, it's difficult to hear. You kind
of sound what Pete was saying is that... You need to consider what the laptop's going to be used for.
PowerPoint presentations. She doesn't play games or anything, but it's going to be used for what she's doing professionally. And she will be doing no video editing, but a lot of photographic type of editing and putting together papers, presentations, having to do a lot of printing from the machine, having to collate a lot of data, some of it that has some pretty heavy duty on mathematical applications.
Well, the thing, okay, here's the deal when it comes to, you were asking about, you know, the ability to take a look at all the different models, maybe side by side and compare them, and that's just really unreasonable.
Well, except that CNET does that. At CNET, you can go to their site, and they have a way for you to line up different models and do a comparison of specs, and they have individual reviews of them, and they have user reviews. It's not something that is necessarily something you could just do at a glance and be done with. You're going to have to take some time and poke
through
them.
Well, I know that there are camera sites that will let you take specific models and plug them in, but it requires a certain amount of knowledge of knowing, you know, what those different specs mean.
When I read specs, I understand right. A lot of times what they
mean. But you
can
easily throw in, an Alienware-style computer next to a netbook and go, oh, my God, you know. But,
I get one thing that I'm leaning toward. I am after reliability, more so than the latest bells and whistles.
I think reliability is, you know, if you buy new and you buy name brand, you're going to get a good product with a strong manufacturer standing behind it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So, you know, I don't know that you're going to, you know, especially when you're buying new, because you're not going to know what the reliability is because it's just come out. So
it's really
once it becomes, you know, reliability ends up being a hindsight issue where the product's been out for a while and people say, you know what, this last, like, you know, I work with a lot of Dell computers at the office that I work at, and we'll get a batch of models, and they'll all be great. You know, this model 6530 run; these have all just been real reliable. Then they'll update, they'll do a refresh, they'll increment the model number, and have a different hardware spec. And it turns out that this last batch of computers that we bought all seem to have bad hard drives. It is just after about 6 months, the hard drive fails.
And that's not necessarily the fault of Dell. That could be their supplier.
Right. And you just, know that. You don't know that unless you're working with a particular make and model in bulk to know if they're having a bad run or, you know, after the fact when that data starts coming in.
Here's a strategy that I use when I'm shopping for something like this. Go spend some time at a store like Fry's or Micro Center, where they have a bunch of them in place, and you can play with them, see what they feel like to you, see how heavy they are, see what they look like, see what's on them already, and make some notes as to the ones you like, and then go home and sit down at the computer you have now and Google these. You'll find reviews on a variety of sites for all of them, and look for common threads of issues both issues and pros and cons, and then use that to narrow it down. Particularly look at user reviews, say on Amazon and Newegg and sites where people, you know, actually have it and are reporting about it. Don't worry about one or two people who say, oh, this thing sucks. Look for common threads.
Okay, I understand.
And that's a strategy that's helped me a lot.
Now, on the hard drives, I did notice that there were some, I guess, spinning at about 5,200 RPMs. There was another 54, another one at 72. If I get the faster hard drive, that's going to make a substantial difference with the speed of the computer, even if the slower hard drive has more RAM in it, is it not?
Well, the speed of the hard drive is going to influence how fast the computer can read the data on the drive and read it into memory. If there's no place for it to put it, you know, it's still going to, there are different bottlenecks you're looking at. Drive speed, in my experience, for the average computer user is almost irrelevant.
Okay.
I disagree with that, but I'll.
But let me finish. Right. You can counter. But for me, for the average user, if you're talking about using PowerPoint, if you're using, you know, spreadsheets, doing email, browsing the web,
that kind
of stuff. Yes, between a 5,400 and a 7,200 RPM drive, I don't think you're going to see a substantial performance increase for doing daily tasks. Now, that being said, if you buy a computer with an SSD drive, a solid-state drive,
what's the advantage of the solid-state drive?
Well, the solid-state drive reads into memory or reads into the CPU. The computer can pull the data off that drive at a much higher rate of speed.
It's almost instantaneous.
It can
be
next to instantaneous.
So that sounds like it'd be worth, even if I could get on the machine downside, originally, maybe eight, nine months from now, put more in.
The downside on that,
the downside to them is that they generally tend to be smaller, or if you get one that approaches the size of a traditional hard drive, they're very expensive. They add a lot of cost to the computer. If your wife doesn't plan to store a lot of the data on the machine itself, if she stores it on an external drive or on a remote server, then an SSD might be the way to go.
Said you were looking for about $600 to pay.
Yeah,
right?
No, that more than about $600. She just doesn't want to spend it.
Yeah, that's right, P, about 600.
I would say, I find that I actually have had...
I think Pete might have had a point after he asked that question, though.
What'd you say, Pete?
No, go ahead, I'm listening.
Would be to get one. Do they offer any with an SSD that would be in that price range? I think that tends to be farther up the food chain.
Yeah,
but I could get one in that range, and then say six, seven months from now, I can get an SSD for it and drop it in. I mean, okay. I can do that.
Yeah. If you with regard to the 5400 and 7200, I've got a MacBook Pro, and I have had, it first came with a 5400 hard drive in it, and I was never really happy with the performance on the drive. I switched it out to a 7200 RPM, and it's not instantaneous, it's not an SSD, but programs launch a lot faster.
Do you even see the 5400 RPM drives anymore?
Yes. I was looking at,
I was on Cyber Monday, and I was looking at a bunch of them with 5400 drives in them. Some of the better, lower priced.
Right.
Originally they were higher, but I guess their drives are getting faster, so they're trying to sell off the older ones.
If you're looking at in that price range, you know, it might, you know, certainly, as Dwight's experience says, that the faster hard drive gave him a performance boost that he was able to notice. I think, you know, also looking at how much overall RAM you're going to have is going to be very important.
About 8 gigs on this one unit I was looking at.
That's more than enough for just about anything.
Right.
Okay.
I can't think. All there's right. not too many situations where you need to go above 8.
Yeah, it's got 8 gigs in it, and I was thinking about a friend, I looked at it, so if that sounds like it, I'll probably end up going with it.
So if you looked at a system that had an 8 gigs of RAM, and, you know, if check out the difference in price between one that has a 5400 RPM and a 7200 RPM hard drive.
Right. And you see, that's what's odd about this machine. It's got a 5400 spin speed on the hard drive, and it's got 8 gigs of RAM, and it's got a terabyte of disk. You know, it's got a terabyte of storage space, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, if I could switch out it to a solid state drive, that would kind of be nice.
You're not going to get a terabyte solid state machine, drive for under $600 just by itself.
I don't think I know.
I don't think it actually exists.
Yeah, they don't have a terabyte solid
state. I think
drive.
The biggest one is 750 or 500 megabytes.
Maybe I've got the number wrong. It's inside and I'm out in my shop, so I can't look.
And there's one another alternative in between, and that's a hybrid drive that has a large amount of RAM or other flash memory in it, along with a fast hard drive. That's
so
what I
have. A small SSD for loading the operating system, and then a large regular hard drive for storing data.
Right.
So you can install your operating system.
And y'all have mentioned this with a previous caller, is that if some people have a tendency to leave open a lot of tabs, and my wife will have, I'm not exaggerating, she'll have 15 different tabs opened. And
that's going to be more a function of RAM than it would be of
15
memory.
Still okay. With 8 gig. If you go above like 30, 40 tabs, then having more than 8 gig is nice.
I mean, it drives me nuts, but I'm learning not to complain about things.
Yeah,
stick her to a long marriage.
No, I consistently have at a minimum 20, 30 tabs open. A lot of times I'll have 50 to 80 tabs open.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, I'm kind of stunned.
Which is why, you know, I have
an experiment that I want to start.
That's
now.
That's why I have 16 gig of memory on my computer at home.
Well, y'all have been very helpful. I appreciate it.
But it took, yeah, I think Dwight hit on the one of the best pieces of advice is just to go to a store like Fry's or Best Buy or go to the big box stores and take a look at the current offerings from all the major manufacturers and look at the ones that are in your price range. And if you have to, write them down.
I will.
The model numbers and go home and research them a little bit. But you can usually, you know, look at card to card. You know, the stores are pretty good about putting the specs up there. You just bounce from one to the other and you go, this one has 8 gigs, this one has 4 gigs, this one has 5,400 RPM, this has a 7,200 RPM drive, whatever.
And as far as those prices go, also I think you'd mentioned earlier the percentage difference. I wasn't looking at the dollar. I was looking at the percentage off from the original price. And I don't think Cyber Monday deals. Some of them they are making a lot of noise about them, but I didn't see much of a percentage difference.
Well, what you're going to see, if, for example, on a Cyber Monday deal with a laptop, what you might see is a laptop that has a slower CPU, has a maybe a larger drive, but it's slower and maybe has less RAM. There'll be something in there. There'll be some kind of little bottleneck or something that just makes it not, you know, not a screamer. It'll be a good, you know, good machine to work on. But, you know, I tend to shop for functionality more than price.
Yeah, I'm a functionality kind of person, too. Anyway, one of the kids is coming out calling my name, so I better go. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good night, Craig. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. All right, 713-526-57. What?
You weren't on IRC at that point, but the IRC people wanted to mention that a good way that you can help validate this
experiment,
yeah, is if you if you just turn your head and cough for us, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I need a hernia check.
Well, you don't have to go all the way.
I don't have to go all the way? Oh, good. You'll be able to stop if I get scared?
That's rubber glove.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Which one of you is putting on the glove? That's
you got your whole hand in there, Doc? What's
Let's take this last call
So is coughing a clue?
No.
No?
No, not at all.
All right.
But it would be a legitimate part of the experiment.
Turn my head and cough.
Yeah.
So silly.
Right?
This is silly. Let's take this last call before we before the time.
All right. Who's up next?
All right. Up next, we're going to speak with George.
George, on the air.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. It's great to be caller 11 binary. I don't know if that joke went good or not. Okay, binary 11, right? Number 3.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay,
that was good. Good. Bush Barrett was here. He's our binary guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's out sick.
My company's got this experiment. They're doing with Symantec endpoint encryption. And
whole disk encryption.
Right. They're wanting to deploy Symantec hard disk encryption. And I'm wondering if you have any experience with that.
I can tell you my opinion of hard disk encryption, which I managed to avoid because I run a Mac and they didn't ever deploy it for Macs where I work, so it was only on PCs. And while I happily went about my work, everybody who had PCs hated their laptops and didn't want laptops anymore. Mostly because it took so long for the systems to boot up.
Because, when it tries to read the encrypted data, it has to decrypt it to show it to you. So you take a giant performance.
And so they never, ever wanted to, like, power their machines off because it took it so long to boot up.
Oh, wow, that sounds very discouraging.
Now, maybe, you know, some products are better at that than others. However, I can say, I don't remember if they used the Symantec one or not, but they did use... I don't remember the name. It was some weird name, Udamata or something. And I don't remember the other one. They went through a couple of them, and none of them were particularly good, especially on boot up.
So I guess you're predicting that spreadsheets would run slower as well?
Well, I think once it was up and running, I don't think it was too bad, except you had to log in for the encryption, and there were some things about it that annoyed them, but I think once the system was up and running, then there wasn't really much of a performance problem.
Okay. Sounds pretty cool. All right, guys. Thank you very much. That's it.
All right, George. Thanks for your call.
Sure.
Bye. All right. I must have done whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing.
On IRC, somebody, actually it was Barrett, because Barrett's was said, I was supposed to say, turn your head to the left and cough, because I guess that's, you know, what doctors say.
Yes.
But it really doesn't matter. You could turn to the left or the right.
You want me to cough on Dwight?
Can I come sit in there with you guys?
We're going to do it to you next.
Good luck.
Are you going to...
Who knows? It may have been on you the whole time.
No, I'm non-responsive, so...
It's really neat, though. I like it a lot.
It's, well, whatever.
See? It just worked.
All right. Well, we don't have enough time to take any more calls.
And we don't have a Barrett time.
Before the top of the
hour.
And
we don't have a Barrett either.
No Barrett.
He's on IRC.
Right, but he's not on the mic.
So. He could type us a Barrett time and we could read it as he types.
Can you read it in his voice?
So since he's not here and he's not on the mic.
I can't do his voice.
He's not on the mic.
We went ahead and left both mics up and we've got you on the left and the right channel. And it's really cool. And if you turn your head and cough, we hear it on one side.
It's an audio experiment.
It's an audio experiment.
So depending on where I'm talking, if I talk here, if I talk
here. Yeah, I can hear that.
So when you turn your head,
I feel like I'm listening to that segment earlier, in Whole Lot of Love, you know.
Earlier you were like right in front of both of them. And then later in the show you started speaking just into one. So it was kind of neat because we could hear you in stereo. And
I was moving the levels. So I moved the level some to try to get you
balanced.
Leveled back out. But then, whenever you'd move forward to talking to one mic, the other one would get...
But when I would go back and get contemplated,
it'd be really cool.
Go into stereo.
Yeah.
I wish you hadn't told me that.
I didn't want to go into the second hour with you in any kind of... I didn't want you to be upset or anything, so...
You know, to your credit, you conveyed it in a way that made me feel just self-conscious enough, but not in a bad way.
Like I said, you know, if you knew about it, you would like it.
The entire reason why you couldn't say anything, because then I get to play with it.
Right. Right.
Right, exactly.
We have so much fun in the studio, people.
The only thing that's odd for me is that the way I panned them, from your perspective, it matches your ears, but for me,
it doesn't.
That's right.
What was the comment about the loud cackle?
That was the caller.
That was the caller.
The previous caller.
Yeah, when he very loudly. Yeah, and it just like
it shocked me.
Yeah, it was much louder than the rest of his conversation. So it scared some people on IRC and me.
Okay, well, we are getting to where we need to take a break and do some station business. So we'll let you know that you're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
And we'll be right back after these.
But with no bear
messages.
Time.
No bear time. None whatsoever.
Hi, I'm General Manager Dwayne Bradley, and I personally want to encourage you to send in your ballot for KPFT's board election. If you're not familiar, the election is conducted via single transferable vote, STV, a voting system in which voters each have one vote, but you can rank candidates in order of choice. In an STV election, candidates must achieve a threshold of first choice votes to win. Visit fairvote.org for a full definition of STV. If you haven't received a ballot yet but think you're eligible, call the help desk at Election Services Company for a replacement. 1-866-720-4357. That number is posted under the elections tab at kpft.org. And please be aware, candidate statements KPFT is airing as part of the requirements may contain opinions or assertions that may not reflect the views of KPFT. Research all the facts, cast an informed vote, go to kpft.org for election information and more. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT reminds you that there's still time to donate your car, boat, RV, or motorcycle to get a tax receipt for 2012. It's easy and just takes a few minutes. Call our toll-free number at 1-855-573-8227. That's 855-KPFT-CAR. Or visit us online at kpft.org and click on More Ways to Give on our homepage. We are listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
George was the quiet Beatle.
I was.
That was. I didn't realize that was only 30 seconds. So.
Oh well.
So now we've got 30 seconds to.
That's hard.
Say that there'll be no Barrett time.
There is no Barrett time.
Hey Barrett, what's happening?
Nothing.
I heard you has the plague.
I, you know, the joke, stay off my lawn, comes up a lot because I'm old. But I posted on, I updated Facebook. I said, Technology Bites is on the air, 90.1 FM in Houston and KPFT.org worldwide. Tune in. It's cranky old man radio about technology. And so, and somebody commented, said, tell them whippersnappers to stay off your land.
Your land. Nice.
That was a good one. Yeah.
It's time Barrett's not here and we need a Barrett time. We need to get somebody's phone with, you know, auto replace and type in one of the old Barrett times and then just read it verbatim.
We should get one of the old Barrett times, plug it into Google, translate it to Spanish, then to Japanese, and then back to English, and then read it. That would be entertainment, exactly. Too. All right. Well, all of our lines are open. We have no Barrett time, so we're going to go back to the phones if you want to be on the air with us tonight. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Groovehouse, now that he is no longer
spilled
conducting
the beans
an experiment
of it. I was
me.
Even called a traitor in the chat room.
Oh.
It's all right.
Well, they'll get over it. You know, you ruin the show for everyone.
I know. I know.
By the way, while we're waiting for calls to come in, apparently somebody last week called in and was complaining about the fact that we didn't have our phones on silent.
Well, what happened was they complained that when the phone went off, that probably a bunch of people went into their pocket to check their phone or their purse or looked.
Like listening.
See, that's
like
not
our
bad.
Listeners.
That's funny.
Like we caused all of, you know, thousands of our listeners.
Reach for their phones at once.
Or all five of our listeners all reached for their phones at once. Oh, wait. Percentage being of iPhone users or Android. Yeah. So I was thinking we should actually have all of our phones turned on and making as many rackets as we possibly
can. I know that there are thousands of people out there listening who have their ringtone set for this.
It's me.
Oh, everybody, grab your phone. No.
Grab Dwight's phone.
Although you have yours set like on a generic.
No. Well, I do have my ring. My ring is no, it's not, actually. I have, now we're going to compare annoying phone rings here. Ooh, I did not mean to do that. My phone's so responsive.
Do you know what song that was that I had on my phone?
I do know that song. I can't remember what it's called, Me and My Girl or...
No, I Need You Tonight.
Need
Excess.
You. Yeah, because, you know, you're into that young music.
That's right, from the 80s.
Yeah.
That whippersnapper music. By the way, I think I'm going to get...
that's my generic ring, but the one that I have for... let's see if I can find the one that I have set for my wife. Yeah, this is my wife's ringtone.
Right. Old school.
This is mine for work when someone calls me from work. I hope no one from work is listening.
All right, here's mine. That's not mine. Everybody has this ringtone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's my wallpaper.
Yeah.
So that's mine. And then I use this one for work sometimes.
I like that.
Where do you get your ringtones?
I make them.
Yeah, just edit down an MP3 file. That's a long ringtone.
Yeah.
What I hate are those really long, the ringtones that take a long time to kind of get the joke, and people that intentionally let it ring long right. enough so you'll get how cool their ringtone is.
Right.
That's why I like your Joust one is probably
that's,
the best.
That's just, yeah, my text tone.
Play that for everyone.
But I was thinking about getting, for when I have a voicemail, I was going to go find the Joust one where when you get a new man, you know, it does like, yeah, but I, but this is, yeah, when I get a text. Which sometimes scares the crap out of me.
That is a scary one, isn't it?
Let's you know, see. When I get a text, it sounds like this.
Is R2 that D2. Is that one of the Galaxy S3
no,
ones?
No, it's R2-D2.
Oh!
Since he's into Star Wars because he's a geek.
Right.
Oh, and then when I set my alarm to go off, this is what it sounds like.
That's good. That's good.
Got your phone should be nothing but eight. That's him setting it back to the, because he had to, yeah, all right. 713-526-5738. Call up and play us your ringtone.
I've turned my, someone wants to call me and set off my phone. Please do.
The I just noticed that the domain techbytes.com is for sale.
Get it.
Really? For sale.
Not just anymore.
For sale.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, for sale.
No, yeah, I went there, and it's like, the domain is for sale.
Yeah, well, they can have it. Well, now I'll see if I got Dwight in my phone book here so I can call him.
Yeah, you'll get the generic ring.
It's me.
He doesn't have one that,
I don't have one set for the technology. This is my new lock screen wallpaper.
A kitten. That's dangerous to go. So I'm dialing, but you're not answering.
Oh, yes? I'm not, huh? It's the AT&T. I don't, yeah, I'm not getting,
Okay, I'm going to read your number out loud
on here. No.
But the 220, I guess that's your office number.
Yeah, that's work.
My contact set that up as your mobile number.
Oh, no. Huh?
All right, tell me your mobile number.
No.
I have this ringtone, too. It's just an 8-bit.
When my family calls, I hear this.
It's me. Which is what?
Madonna, Don't Tell Me.
Sound like it was a skipping record.
Sound like Pete on the
Well, that's
Skype.
And that's how it
sound like Pete on the Skype.
Yeah.
It's like playing on Skype. It's legendary.
Very true.
All right. 713-526-5738.
Somebody went in and changed the Geek Gathering band.
Yes, they did, because somebody felt ashamed that they didn't do it right. So now it is arithmetically correct.
It's arithmeticulous.
Yes, it has been updated because I didn't do my cleverness right.
Our first call just dropped.
Oh, uh-oh. He gave up. All right, who's
sure
up?
Did. Nobody.
Well, nobody. We got a green one held there.
All right, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air with us tonight here on Technology Bites.
I think they just were annoyed that we just kept playing.
That we kept playing our phone ringtones?
Our phone ringtones.
We kept amusing ourselves, which is not so
amusing. As opposed to
amusing
our listeners. But now we have Loris on there, and Loris is...
Okay, Groovehouse will give it to us.
He'll
set us straight.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Second half of the show?
Yeah, who's
that? First caller?
Yep.
That would be Loris.
Loris, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, guys?
Good. What can we do for you?
Listen, I bought a MacBook Pro recently because I had an old MacBook 13-inch that was running Leopard, and somebody put in an SSD for me about a year and a half ago, and I couldn't upgrade to Mountain Lion. I was having a really hard time upgrading to Mountain Lion, and Apple wasn't supporting Leopard anymore as far as updates go and all sorts of things, so I just bought a new one.
Mm-hmm.
MacBook Pro, and ever since I bought it, I've been having some, like, buyer's remorse, maybe, because the Air was being sold at the same time, of course, and it's sleeker. I like the SSD in the Air and all, and I'm just wondering, I can't return it, obviously, and get an Air, but is there really that much more of an advantage other than the SSD being much faster? And I guess the processor on the Pro is pretty darn good, but
does the Pro that you bought have an SSD or not?
No, it doesn't.
You could put an SSD in it.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't have one in mind now, but I reviewed an SSD from MacSales.com, and it was pretty spiffy having it in there. It made it feel close to an Air. And the upside to it is that you have a lot more hard drive space with your existing hard drive than you would with if you put an SSD in there.
Yeah, I see that.
So it's kind of a trade off.
Yeah, it's a lot heavier than an Air. That's for damn sure, darn sure. I mean, I'm looking at also the CD drive. I thought, well, I'll probably need it for a while, but. I can't remember the last time I really used a CD drive.
Well, one of the things that you could do, and a variety of places sell these, is you could open it up, remove the optical drive, put an adapter with a second hard drive in it, so you could actually install an SSD with your operating system and your programs, and then use a 7200 RPM hard drive in the adapter, and you would have all of the storage space that you wanted and the speed from the SSD.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, I'll probably just do that.
And you know what? Even an Air isn't that good.
Oh, yeah?
Right, because you can't add a built-in hard drive into an Air.
Oh, that's true, yeah, that's true. Right. Okay, cool.
So you get the best of both worlds, except for the sleek, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get an iPad anyway, either the mini or just a regular iPad. And so that's what I'll just be carrying around. This is just used as my regular computer at home.
So I'm real interested in people who are trying to choose between the mini and the full-size iPad. What criteria are you going to use to choose between the two of them?
Actually, it's the size, because I think that the size of it, the mini, I'll carry around a lot more than the larger one. Now, the mini is not as good as far as like graphics and stuff. But if I'm really just surfing the web on it or answering emails and stuff, I don't really need a whole lot of. I'm not watching movies on it.
Well, the graphics, that type of graphics is not what is the big difference. It's text, because the full size iPad has what Apple calls a Retina display, with a high pixel density, and so it looks like ink on paper. But if you're reading text on the iPad Mini, you will definitely notice the pixels. And so, have you been to the Apple Store and looked at them yet?
No, they were just about to come out when I was there last.
You should go. And they have them at the Apple Store at Highland Village. They have them side by side on it. One of the tables has them side by side. And you can actually, like, put them next to each other. And you should do that before you make your decision.
The other thing, though, that I would
look at it first anyway. In fact, I might even wait until the spring. I don't need it until, like, March or April.
Pete wanted to chime in with something here.
Yeah.
Bugged by how text looks on the iPad Mini. Are, as far as I've seen, 201 are people who've already had extensive experience with an iPad 3. So if you're not coming from an iPad 3rd gen with a Retina display already, then it may not bother you one way or the other. People who went from an iPad 2 to the Mini, that seems to be just kind of sort of equal. And the people who went from the iPad 3 are the ones who said who were irritated by the change. So you may be able to get away with the Mini anyway.
Yeah, okay. Now, do you, Apple, comes out with these things, and you can go on, I can't remember the site where it, Mac Rumors, yeah. They come out with these things every few hundred days or whatever. What do you think is the next iPad mini update? Is it going to be next summer or something? Or?
Well, Apple updates the iPad generally in the spring, and it's possible that they would move to a Retina mini in the spring, but the problem with Retina is that it requires a lot of battery power.
Yeah.
And which means it's not going to be as thin or as light, and it could be a while before you see a Retina iPad mini, depending on how that technology evolves.
Right. Okay, cool. All right, well, you've answered my questions. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, thank you for your call tonight.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, 713-526-5738, if you want to be on the air with us tonight.
I was going to say, I've actually got the Bizarro Barrett time.
The Bizarro Barrett
time? If you'd be interested in hearing it.
I probably would.
English to Spanish to Japanese to Russian back to English on Google Translate.
Okay.
What was the topic?
The original one?
Mm-hmm.
It appears to be about bulletin boards. It was the first posted Barrett time I could find, which was actually probably like over a year ago.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't.
We'll just take like a paragraph or two.
Online for us, like
we'll
that.
Just take like a paragraph or two. We don't need to read the whole thing.
Which yeah, depends it's pretty, on how it's funny long it Barrett time, but yeah. I'll try to give.
And once again, this is English.
English to Spanish to Japanese to Russian back to English. Google Translate.
Go. Okay. Barrett time, Barrett. Something.
Bizarro Barrett time.
Bizarro Barrett time.
Barrett's.
I have to try to read like Barrett, which means I have to talk fast.
I think I need to turn your mic up a little bit. I need to turn my headphones up a little bit. Something like that. All right.
All right. Because you know Barrett always says that. All right. Yes, sir. Before you dub as a bulletin board, which BBC, so far as you know, we have the internet. Similarly, as a direct dial telephone modem and the modem, as static, EE. So I'm going to butcher the name. I'm probably bad masker as watching swats as David E. I should not be confused with David E. Static. I got it from my system, okay? I think. David was a man who gave the BBS, which served as an information center, atomic cafe, other electronic bulletin boards of us. Well, I'm a system that is designed to maintain, or have been, or for those who do not fully know what the board package, paper, and postcards. Of course, this version of the plug. It is
you
now.
Know, actually, I need to find the original, and I need to read the first sentence, and you need to read.
Actually, it sounds normal to me. I can't tell any difference.
Wow.
All right, let me see.
It was a while back. I had to search through a couple of previous entry pages before I got to the Barrett time, but I don't have the original because I was copying and pasting.
All right, well, I want to look. I'm going to go to the Geek Radio and see if I can find find the actual original Barrett time.
Why don't we?
There's one for June 20th.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, George, can hang on just a second. We'll
put him out of his misery.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Before the dub, we had the BBS, as in bulletin board system, as in not yet the net as we know it.
Before you dub, as a bulletin board, which BBC, so far as you know, we have the internet.
As in dialing directly, modem to modem, as in EE static.
Similarly, as a direct dial telephone, modem and the modem, as static, E.
Which I'm probably butchering as badly as I'm going to butcher this last name.
So I'm going to butcher the name. I'm probably bad masker as.
Washington's, as in David E., not to be confused with David E. Static. Okay, I've gotten it out of my system, I think.
Washington's, as David E. I should not be confused with David E. Static. I got it from my system, okay, I think.
David E. Washington-Swans, who signed out of this world on Saturday, June 2nd, was actually the topic of an article that our own Dwight Silverman wrote all the way back in 1996. Without giving away all of this week's Barrett time, do you have any recollection of that, Dwight?
David E. on June 2nd, Thursday, Get Out of Wash and Swatch was the subject article. I wrote all the way to our own Dwight Silverman. I'm actually back in 1996, out of this world. Without having to disclose all bear time this week, do you have any memory of it, Dwight?
David was the man who gave us the Atomic Cafe, a BBS that acted as a clearinghouse for other BBSs.
David was a man who gave the BBS, which served as an information center Atomic Cafe, other electronic bulletin boards of us.
Of us. All right, one more paragraph, and I think we'll drop this here. Now, for those not quite in the know as to what a BBS is or was, it's a system designed to hold not packets but postcards and pieces of paper. Of course, that's the cork version. The digital version started popping up in the late 70s. They actually did use packets in 128-byte denominations, at least if you were connecting to a bulletin board that used the ubiquitous X-modem protocol. Developed in 1977, it is still a protocol contained in Microsoft's Hyperterm some 35 years later.
Well, I am a system that is designed to maintain, or have been, or for those who do not fully know what the board package paper and postcards. Of course, this version of the plug, it is now in a digital version of the 70. If you are connected to the board using a universally protocol X modem, he had to use the package in a denomination of at least 128 bytes in practice. Was developed in 1977, is a protocol, which is about 35 years old, is a Hyperterm Microsoft yet.
And bear time would be so much better, wow. I think. So to reiterate, what happened was we took an old Barrett time, and we went to Google Translate and translated it. And what was the language progression?
I went English to Spanish, Spanish to Japanese, Japanese to Russian, and then Russian back to English.
So that just goes to show, that's a really good demonstration of how bad the translators are. Well, yeah, they just can't do it. Because they translate word for word.
Right.
And
although, again, you're going through multiple translations.
Yeah. And Google Translate actually is okay
for one language.
It still misses some stuff, but it does do some contextual translation. There are cases where it doesn't actually do a literal translation. Like, it actually knows some phrases, and from context, sometimes it'll get the
right
thing. But sometimes it doesn't.
But you don't. If you don't know the language,
you don't know when it's doing it and when it's not.
You know, when I would use Google Translate to translate something into Spanish and then give it to Aurora Lasada, and she just laughed. Yeah. All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. I see we have a call in the queue. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who is it?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. I'm going to try to make this quicker. I got a Toshiba laptop. I couldn't see. I think it's called Satellite or something. But anyway, I have a HP LaserJet all-in-one. In fax, copy, print, and whatever. Anyway, what's going on is, it's not receiving the commands from the laptop, and I'm thinking it's something that's not enabled, or is this something that's I haven't.
Okay, let me stop there. And we'll do a little troubleshooting. Has it ever worked?
Oh yes, yeah, it did. Originally, when we first hooked it up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was because it was, for lack of a better term, preset factory commands.
What happens is that when you buy a computer and you buy a printer, you connect the printer to the computer, you install the software for the printer, and then the computer is able to print to the printer.
Right.
That's just it's not pre-configured anything. It's you have to set it up to make it happen, and usually it comes with a software to allow you to do that. Now, the printer is connected to the computer. Right, you're not trying to do this wirelessly or anything, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you got the software for the printer?
Yeah, I still got the software. I still got the disk. You know that I would have to. I guess it's the way it was. It had a disk for it to download. Right.
A lot of times, when it comes to printing problems, the best solution is to just go into your printer control panel and remove the printer. and, uh-huh. then follow the instructions to set it up just like you set it up the first time.
Right.
Reinstall the software, just reconfigure the printer, and that a lot of times that'll solve the problem.
Okay. Well, that kind of crossed my mind earlier, and I said, well, I'm going to wait till the show came on and just kind of double-check and reconfirm that thought, because yeah. I just go ahead and just start back at the beginning and
just see start maybe over and
something has went down or went out on it.
Right, because sometimes a driver will become corrupted or get out of whack when you do a system update or something, and sometimes just reinstalling the software will clear that up.
Right. I thought so. I was hoping so. That's the best route for me to go. Guys, right. Again, thank you. And this from Georgia and Huntsville. Y'all have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right. So why do we have a Dropbox link? It's a phrase.
It was one of the people on IRC saying what they used to use for their phone.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. I see one line ringing and Groovehouse is dealing with it. So that's good. Oh, what? You want... have some entertainment. It's got it both. And of course, I do the show like this with one headphone off of one ear, so all I hear is
just one
channel.
Right.
So you're gonna take it out of my yes. There you go. You took it out. So was that part of the experiment that you were panning it into the one ear so that I would? Yeah.
Oh.
All right. So. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, who are going to be on the air with us tonight here on Technology Bites, Groovehouse.
Yes.
I see we have a call in the queue.
We do have a call in the queue. We have room for more. So
we have room for more. We have time for more. So we have another half hour in the show. So if you want to participate, call in.
That's right.
713-526-5738. Who's up?
Up next, we're going to speak with Robel.
Robel, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I started a new business, and I was looking for a new laptop to buy. And since I'm a big Google fan, I was considering buying a Chromebook. And I was wondering what your take was on it, like versus a real Windows 8 laptop or a Mac.
What do you want to do with the notebook? What do you see yourself doing?
Okay, so what I will be doing is I have to be writing some articles online.
Mm-hmm.
And I also design my website on this website called webs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that online as well. And at home, I already use my Chrome browser.
You said you needed this because you're starting a business?
I have already started a business. And right now, I'm taking my laptop to work, to my office.
Uh-huh.
To work there.
So what are you doing? How are you managing your books?
For my business is not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a hypnotist. I hypnotize people. And so,
What is your bidding? Never mind.
Yeah, right.
A joke.
I don't understand.
All right. So one of the things that you have to make sure you can do if you're doing a Chromebook is that anything you want to do has to be online.
Okay.
Because... you know, you can install applications or extensions into Chrome that have some functionality, but they're not going to have, in a lot of cases, the full functionality they would if you have an app. The nice thing about, or a full-size notebook, the nice thing about the Chromebook is that they're pretty inexpensive. And you could buy a fairly cheap one, and get a feel for it. And if you decide you want to go back to your full-size notebook, you can still do that, and you haven't lost that much.
Okay. You see, my question was, the previous caller just asked about a printer, and I have a plan to add a printer on my laptop when I buy it from my office. Is it compatible with a lot of the devices that would come out? You think the Chromebooks?
Google has a service called Internet Print, Google Internet Print.
Okay.
And it essentially allows you to print by way of the internet, and the printer has to be compatible with it. A lot of them are. There's an extension that you put into the browser that makes it work. But what you probably ought to do is check and see if your printer will be compatible with it.
Okay, so I have to buy one of those internet compatible.
Well, it may already be if you have one.
Okay.
You know, do some research and check and see if it already is.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call.
All right. Bye. Bye.
I'm a chicken. Bark, 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 bark. Hold on. I need a bell. Ring-a-ling-a-ling. All right.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
All right.
Yes.
Oak Grove House. Who's on?
I'm the quiet beetle. Jay's the cranky one. All right.
All right.
I'm a mucker.
I'm a rocker.
I'm not a mod. I'm not a rocker. I'm a mucker. All right,
that's
up next.
Clever. Did you come up with
no,
that?
No, it's Ringo from Hard Day's Night. They ask him, are you a mod or a rocker? He's like, neither. I'm a mucker. All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Steve.
Hi, Steve. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Recently, Dwight had an article on the Nokia Lumia 920, and I myself am on the precipice of, I believe, Appledom trying to decide between the iPhone 5 and the 920. He didn't mention, if I recall, the battery life in his article. That was kind of my main issue, the screen, actually, but my other issues with the battery life is much better, and noticeably better than the iPhone 5.
The battery, I did mention the battery life in that entry, and it's about what you would expect for most smartphones. It, you know, I got, when I was using it, I was able to get pretty much go through a full day and have a little bit left over. The iPhone 5, at least the way I have mine set up and running, gets exceptional battery life. I can go, at the end of the day, I'm usually well over 50%, sometimes 60%.
Are you calling from within a beehive?
Got one of the cell phones in the car, so maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
This morning I unplugged about 9:15, and I've got 74% left on my phone now. That's not unusual. So the iPhone 5 has better battery life. The screen on the Lumia 920 is much, much better.
We're going to answer your call off the air a little bit because the car noise was pretty bad.
The screen on the Lumia 920 is very large. It's a very nice screen. If you like a big screen, it's great for that. It's a high-quality screen. It has a lot of pixel density. The Lumia 920 is really heavy. It's an ounce and a half away from half a pound. And that's because it has a wireless charging mechanism built into it, and that causes it to have some weight. You can get a wireless charging plate, use it, and that's a benefit. But just be aware of that it is very heavy. And the iPhone 5 is an extremely lightweight phone. So you definitely want to go to the AT&T store, which sells the Lumia 920, and compare the weight to an iPhone 5, if you're thinking about those two.
All right. 713-526-5738. Groove House?
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Marta.
Marta, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for taking my call. Okay, I have always been a PC user, but I got an iMac about 3 years ago with a desktop.
Okay.
And it's running really sluggish. It's like that little rainbow ball, that annoying rainbow ball.
They call that the beach ball.
Yes. And it's like, I don't have that many programs on it. I try to make sure I close down all the applications and just use one at a time. But it's like, with a PC, I would know what to do to go in and clean things out. How do you clean out a Mac? Does it need cleaning out? What do I do?
What's that thing you told me I should try on my Mac before I re-imaged it, the rebuild the file system thing or whatever?
Oh, there's a couple of things that you can do on a Mac when you have these issues. There's first is just called repair permissions. It's in the disk utility in the utilities folder.
And you can Google that if you don't know your way around, but if you Google restore permissions or repair permissions on a Mac, you'll find instructions that tell you how to go and do that.
But that doesn't affect, it turns out that doesn't affect the home folder. What operating, what version of OS X is?
I don't know.
You don't know what version it is?
Three-year-old.
It's probably Snow Leopard.
Probably Snow Leopard.
Wait, what was before Snow Leopard?
Leopard.
Oh. I might have that. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, this.
How would I know?
You would go into.
Click on the Apple and then click About This Mac.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I know that sounds really stupid.
That's okay. Well. But yeah, if you click on the Apple icon and click About
This
Mac,
it'll give you the number.
It'll tell you what the number is, what version it is.
At any rate, if you have a version of it that supports it, the repair permissions only doesn't actually repair permissions in the home folder, which is the folder that has your local applications, the data that you've stored. And so there's another thing you can do that is a much deeper repair permissions. If you Google for how to really repair permissions on your Mac, I did a blog post on that.
Okay.
And you'll find that it may not be apropos to Leopard. But at the very least, you'll be able to go in and see it. One of the things that always happens with almost any kind of computer is you have what's called OS decay, where just over time, things slow down. And what you may want to do is back up your data and just reinstall the operating system. Even on a Mac, sometimes you need to do that and start from that.
I will tell you, I just did that with my MacBook Pro. I was having kind of this sluggish behavior, and I didn't do the repair permissions or anything to go that route, although it was suggested to me by several different people when I mentioned that I was going to reload my operating system.
Uh-huh.
But so I have confidence that those might actually have helped. But my philosophy was I had upgraded my system. I'd gone from Leopard to Snow Leopard to Lion to Mountain Lion, and I wanted to just have a fresh, clean install of the most recent operating system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my system is just flying now.
That's what I need.
It's once in a while, just reloading your operating system is just such a good, cathartic thing to do for any computer.
I
like OS decay.
Right. The other thing that you can do, and you may get some help with this, call and make an appointment at the Genius Bar at an Apple store and just take your computer in and let them look at it. They won't charge you just, you know, to check it out.
Oh, okay.
And in some cases, they may be able to help you if you decide you want to upgrade to a newer version. You can, they can help you do that.
Can I ask another naive question?
Mm-hmm.
If I upgrade to a newer version, do you have to pay for that?
Yes.
Okay.
And because you have not kept up over time, you will not necessarily be, unless you go and buy all of the previous updates. The updates for the Mac OS are actually fairly inexpensive. You know, they've been $29. I think the last one was
$19. Oh, and you buy it online, right?
Right, and you do it online. The only thing is that you can't go from, say, Leopard to Mountain Lion.
Of course not, right, gotcha.
So you'd have to buy...
Maybe I should update my stuff.
Yeah, or actually what I would do is I would take your computer to a Genius Bar and say, look at this and tell me what you think.
Unfortunately,
and one of the things is, how much RAM do you have on this computer?
That's a good question.
Right.
I will look and see, because I'm in the car.
On maxing out the RAM. That's one of the things I would do before I'd spend a bunch of money necessarily on system updates, just because when you update the system, it may demand more RAM than may make it worse.
Okay.
And also, another thing you can do to analyze what's going on is look at the... It'll be in your software, in your applications. It's called Activity Monitor. And if you run that while your computer is doing its normal stuff, you'll be able to see how much memory is being used, what programs are really consuming the most memory, and kind of have an idea of what's going on with your system in real time.
I have an iMac from about the same time frame. When I bought my iMac was about 3 years ago. And one of the things that I did right out of the chute was add more memory to it. And that was a real boon. That just really sped things up. I don't know how much yours has. It's probably 4 gig. But I upgraded mine to 8, and it screams.
Okay, I got some work to do. Well, this gives me a good starting point. I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, well, thank you for your call.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right. You know, it's funny, the next caller, and I'm just going to spill the beans because his name is James, but he's been on hold for 0 hours, 07 minutes. So I've got James Bond on the brain. I just saw the 007.
That is awesome.
That's a good movie, isn't it?
I haven't seen the new one.
Oh, yet. You haven't seen it? It's good. It's it very does. Enjoyable.
Spoiler alert! I didn't need to know it was good.
Thanks, Dwight.
How am I going to make my own opinion?
I might be lying.
I have this on the DVR, y'all. I'm going to watch it later, so please.
The new one?
It's a joke.
I have it on my BitTorrent.
That's what Dwight always says.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my Netflix queue. Number 78.
Oh, now he's been on hold for 8 minutes.
Well, the whole James Bond mystique is gone now.
Gone.
All right. Who cares now?
Yeah.
So last week.
All right.
It's so last minute.
I have a chicken. All right, who's up next? Groovehouse. Oh, let me go with the phone number again. 713-526-5738. We got one call in the queue. We're about to put him on the air. Lots of open lines. A bit of time left, so if you want to be on the air, this is your opportunity. 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse?
Thank you, Easter Bunny.
I'm a chicken.
Who's up next?
Up next is James.
Hey, James, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, funny, my man, Austin. So, James Bond, Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah. We're stretching it, but that's good.
Anyway, my question is, how about the at-home PCs? And I use Chicken of the VNC to connect to my work computers.
Okay.
With my Windows 7 computer I just bought, Chicken of the VNC doesn't work. Is there any other VNC program you'd recommend?
What's the other VNC program? Just VNC, isn't it?
For Windows? I don't know.
And what about Windows 8?
I would imagine that if it works on Windows 7, it'll probably work on Windows 8. I would think I haven't played with VNC in a long time. I use something called Dameware, and it's not free, but it allows you to remote control workstations. But there are some other VNC applications out there. Have you just tried Google searching VNC for Windows 7?
Well, I don't necessarily have to go with VNC. I just want to be able to connect from my Mac to my PC.
Well, if you Google VNC, equivalent Windows 7 or VNC alternative for the Mac or Windows 7, you'll find pages that talk about the different applications that do it. I mean, there's because it's VNC just stands for Virtual Network Computing. There's Tight VNC, there's Tiger VNC, there's Real VNC, there's Ultra VNC. So there's a lot of VNC clients out there or similar clients out there. So I don't know which one to tell you to use because I haven't used one in a while. Like I said, I'm using a program called Dameware. It's not free, but it what's cool is that, you know, you tell it the IP address of the machine you want to connect to, and it just installs a little small footprint client onto that PC, and it allows you to take over.
So can you use your iPhone 5? Connect to your PC as well using that?
I don't use my iPhone 5 for that, no, but I'm using that for PC to PC.
Oh. Okay.
I use Citrix on my iPhone to connect to a remote desktop. There's actually a remote desktop for the iOS.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. And I've used it. I have a VPN for the iOS, so I don't really want to try to do it on an iPhone. I've done it just to see that it could be done. So I used remote desktop and VPN to control my workstation at work from my iPad.
Well, what's that called again?
It's called remote desktop. Just Google remote desktop
for Mac. Yeah.
For Mac or remote desktop for iPad or iPhone.
Barrett.
Okay.
Barrett on IRC, Zombie Barrett, is recommending Cord, CORD, which is a SourceForge project or a project on SourceForge. I don't know anything about it.
Actually, Barrett said, tell him to get Cord !!
Yeah, and
so
then I
very emphatic.
And then I asked if that stood for Chicken of Research and Development.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what it stands for. I've heard of Tight VNC, though. I know people use that.
KD5 says he works okay with Tight VNC server. But yeah, there's some options out there. I would just say, you know, get online and look around and read what people are saying, but, you know, try to tailor that to, you know, what you're doing, you know, and what platforms you're trying to run it on.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for your call. All right. So, amateur, you just, you know, contributed to the conversation.
Yeah, it's too bad she wasn't here earlier to...
to answer our questions about astrology.
Astrology questions.
Yeah, you got to watch out. Amateria may show up at a geek gathering with a pair of binoculars. X-ray binoculars. Yeah.
And then me, like, looking towards apartment complexes.
She's spying.
Saying that she's looking at the moon.
She's looking for a moon. That's no moon.
Wow, no calls.
No moons either.
Which one do you want to hear the moon in? All right, 713-526-5738 if you're listening here in Houston, Texas on a Wednesday night. We're live and in your ear.
It's only a paper moon.
And if you want to be on the air with us tonight, you can dial 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Amateria called, said jerk. I wonder who she's referring to.
Flicked.
Probably Flicked. She probably doesn't feel comfortable enough to call me a jerk.
She just thinks it about you. She says it about me.
Yeah, she says it about you, thinks it about me. But she eye-rolled gifted us.
Yeah.
All right, 713-526-5738. So, dude, what about you guys? Y'all didn't chime in on the Black Friday conversation or the Monday, did you?
I missed my Cyber Monday deal. I had one thing I was going to buy.
Really?
Yeah, Borderlands 2 from one website online that had it for $39.99, and I flaked and forgot.
How's the Halo 4 working out
Monday?
For you?
So far, so good. I wish I had someone to play with.
I need to buy it.
I actually had not planned to make a Cyber Monday purchase, but I got an email, and it got me thinking, and so then I decided I was going to buy something, but then I did a Google search, and I found it the same thing for $25 cheaper somewhere else, so I bought it there. So it was sort of related to Cyber Monday, but not exactly. It was a Christmas present.
You were leading for a cyber joke. You know, if you were going to cyber, you got an email, and... question.
I didn't. Yeah, there was a joke about that. I retweeted on Monday. That was similar.
You didn't cyber on Monday.
I want a Cyber Monday. You want a cyber comment Monday? All right. I had to. Ava Terry actually piped up and said, she said, "I'm a jerk. You're a jerk too, Jay." So I just kicked her from the channel. And that's a jerk plus O to you. Ha ha, ha ha, ha. All right, so looks like we got some calls coming in on the queue. I don't think she has her auto join turned on her IRC, auto rejoin, so it took her a second to come back. All right, Groovehouse is getting the next call lined up, teed up, ready to go on the show. Yeah, I didn't K-line her. I didn't ban her. I didn't take away her voice. All right, Groovehouse, do you want to give us a call or? Oh, no?
The next call is Kayvon.
Kayvon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Sorry, I just took a power nap. I had a question about I am needing to get up to date. I have a cheap Cricket phone. Not to say Cricket's cheap, but I could. I need to upgrade to a phone that has, like, GPS and internet. So that, because I do pizza deliveries and stuff. So I'm constantly, like, I hate having my phone and another GPS thing and the charger broke and I need to go buy another one. I'm thinking I need a phone with GPS so I don't have all this, you know, electronics in my car bouncing around and stuff because I just need one main, you know, kind of solid phone. But I've never had any kind of, like, iPhone or G3 or whatever you're talking about. I never had an internet on my phone, you know, ever. So, I mean, I'm wondering, like, a basic, like, where is Verizon or Apple? What, you know, for someone who really has never
so
had
never
any
had
sort
a,
of, like...
You've never had a smartphone before?
Never had anything that's, like, above just having unlimited talk, text,
messaging, you know, in minutes for 30 days. That's pretty much all I've always had.
Wow.
I've never had internet or, you know, doing anything like that.
Delivery driver?
GPS on, yeah. But I need internet, I need GPS, I need upgrade, and
how much can
I
you
need
afford
something
a,
for
how,
beginners.
How much can you afford a month for your plan?
I was hoping to keep it around. I'm paying $35 for 30 days, and it's all unlimited.
But there's no data on there. There's no GPS. There's no internet.
There's nothing. It's just unlimited
it's phone
talk,
and
unlimited
text.
You know, text and messages for 30 days for $35. I was hoping around 60, maybe. I mean, if there's give me anything less, 60 a month, or
with,
I
with,
could stretch it
with
you know 70, but.
70 is kind of the baseline for, you know, depending on how much data you use. If you're going to be in your car lot using it, you're not going to be where there's Wi-Fi. You'll rely
on... Well, the thing is, I really don't have much of a... I don't text and Facebook and tweet or anything. I don't do anything. I go to work every single day. And I'm living kind of like paycheck
pulling
to paycheck.
Down maps, so. doing GPS on a map, that will slurp data. That will really chew up the data on your data plan. So if you get a phone with, say, a limited amount of, you know, get a discount data plan where you've only got a gig of data or, you know, 2 gigs of data, and you're driving every day and you're using the GPS and the maps feature, you're going to chew that up. I found that out the hard way.
A lot of times I like the option that, because we've been open for 3 years at our, it's a family-owned place where, you know, pizza and stuff. And we have, you know, internet over there, and I've been fairly just, you know, awesome. I know all the streets now. It's just when I really have to go far or something, or I'm a little bit unfamiliar. I remembered
on IRC
only
Barrett,
on like kind of like a emergency type things I would need to look up.
Kayvon,
or
Kayvon, hang on a second. Yeah. We got it. We're trying to interject here a little bit for you. Check out the prepaid T-Mobile options.
Okay,
they offer a data $60 a month. T-Mobile will get you data and unlimited everything else.
Who does Boost? Who does Boost ride
Sprint.
On?
Sprint.
Boost or T-Mobile?
Yeah, check those two out. Just, you know, go in there and talk to a sales rep and let
them know. Yeah, I want to try to, like, get oversold on something, like somebody trying to, like, you know, I really want, like, the basic, do you know, like, a model at T-Mobile or some kind of name of something? I like a big, you know, screen, you know, a touchscreen type.
You know, it's all in the abstract right now. You need to go and take a look at the phones and see what they're like and see what they're going to cost you. And what, you know, on a prepaid, you're not going to get the same kind of discount on the phone as you would if you signed up for a plan on a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, you know, conceivably, you could get a decent smartphone on contract for anywhere, I guess, from, you know, free on up.
We were also thinking about a family plan. Me, my mom, and my dad.
Yeah, is this a family-run business?
Yes.
Are you part of the family? Are you part of the family?
Yes.
This sounds like a business expense.
Mom, my dad.
This sounds like a business expense. You need to have your dad buy the phone and have them have the plan, and it can be a business expense, and then nothing has to come out of your pocket.
Yeah.
That's a write-off at the end of the year.
The other thing you could look into is replace the GPS with like a 7-inch tablet, like a Google Nexus that has the 3G from, you know, different providers, or you could go with the like iPad mini thing. You spend a little more money on the hardware because although if you're going to do the pay as you go, those are all pay as you go plans, and the hardware's $200 or $300.
Woo! So that's only one payment, and then whatever the monthly.
But if you don't have, if none of your family or business partners have a plan, have phones and data plans and stuff, you can go and talk to the AT&T and Verizon about their plans for family usage, where you're going to pay for every phone, you know, whatever phone you want. You're going to pay a certain amount to be able to make phone calls and do text, and then you're going to have a shared pool of data.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All together in the same. Because I really rarely, you know, talk or text on the phone a lot. It's mainly just
talking and
calling
text,
back.
They're giving that stuff away.
Call back to the office and ask.
They're giving that stuff away for free, the talk and text now. So what you're paying for is internet access. You're paying for the ability to browse the web, translate that GPS data into map data, send emails, send, you know, but text and talk. That's a no-brainer. I get unlimited text and talk on my phone now. It didn't used to be that way, but these days, unlimited text and talk on a smartphone is not how they're getting you.
You also don't want to judge what you are going to do with a smartphone if you've ever had one, because you find all kinds of new uses for it. And I guarantee you, if you buy it now, a year from now, how you use it is going to be nothing like you imagine.
I think that's absolutely true statement that Dwight just made, because, you know, before, when I had just a phone, it was a phone, and the concept of doing texting was moderately interesting.
In fact, you probably use your iPhone differently than you did your Android phone,
I do.
Don't you?
Right. I do. And that evolves when you go from kind of thinking about what you might do to actually seeing it do what it can do.
Right.
And that will change the way that you interact with a smartphone. So it can be something where you might, it might be that you go, well, this is a bunch of hoo-ha and I don't need it. But it more likely it'll be like, oh my God, this is what the potential has opened up for me. So if you're not on a financial, if you're not under really bad financial constraints, consider getting a good smartphone like the Galaxy S3 or the iPhone 5 with a data plan, and you'll be set. It's not the cheapest thing in the world, but it does what it does, and it does it very, very well. It's just it's almost, unless money really is tight for you, you can go state of the art smartphones and be really happy. Not the kind of money, like if you're trying to do state-of-the-art stereo equipment or state-of-the-art car or state-of-the-art anything else. State-of-the-art smartphone, you're out a few hundred bucks for the hardware on a contract, and then you're out a few hundred bucks a month, or, you know, under 200 a month for everything, just everything that you need, maybe even less. You could probably get it under 100 if you shop it hard enough.
And you can also, actually, if you go back even just one generation, you have a pretty good experience. You can get an iPhone 5, but if you get an iPhone 4S, they're selling that for very inexpensive, and it's a great phone to use.
Let's try and get $100 on a two-year contract.
Let's try and get this last call.
All right, let's do that.
Last call, Walter.
Walter, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Okay, briefly, I am currently using a BlackBerry on T-Mobile with 3G and wanting to expand into something where that gives me a screen big enough to see stuff on. My son has an iPhone 4 that he's willing to give me because he's going up to an i5. And what I'm wondering is the iPhone 4, which I assume I can get unlocked affordably, is it compatible with whatever the T-Mobile is? Because I don't know how many G's the iPhone 4 needs. And also, can it...
Walter, unfortunately, it's not compatible. It's compatible technically with the...
But you get very slow speed.
Very slow throughput on the data, so it's really not worth it. So if you're going to stay with T-Mobile, I would consider getting the Galaxy S3.
If you have iPhone 4S or an iPhone 5 that's unlocked to T-Mobile, it now works in Houston at least on their HSPA Plus band. So it's actually a pretty good experience on those two phones.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all the time we have, and I'm sorry I had to cut you short on that, but we do have to get out of here because we can't be here forever.
We want to.
Yes. Well. All right, well, you guys are going to be in charge for the next couple of weeks.
Why?
Because I'm leaving.
What?
I'm getting out of here.
No Jay?
No Jay for the next couple of weeks.
What?
I quit.
The experiment was a success.
I am a plan is working.
All right, well, you have been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee. Was Peter on you again?
I don't know.
Y'all got to stop.
No, she was. He wasn't on me.
She?
He wasn't on me.
Well, obviously he was on something.
All right, well, I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Dwight.
He's
Krampus.
Bark, bark, bark. I'm a chicken. Bark, bark. Ah.
KPFT's board election is on. Here's a candidate.
Nancy Saibar Naritomi, your board since 2010. What is needed? First, KPFT board members must have access to financial documents, itemization of all budget lines in order to check and report to listeners, especially since KPFT has not had an audit in 4 years. Second, staff rights must include a staff guild which would report anonymous input. Guidelines for a show to exist need more oversight. Third, bylaws are needed to allow more live reporting from a breaking news volunteer team and more on-air time for the community. Adding online captioning and translations would bring in the hearing impaired, immigrants, and listeners worldwide. Four, rather than grants, corporate matching funding, or announcements in exchange for nonprofits' donations, the power of individual members and participation is key. Help the world find KPFT. Come join the governance committee, create reform. Email directly to nancysaibar@gmail.com or P.O. Box 741-206, Houston 77036. Thank you. KPFT Houston.
Now the ballots are out, and it's time to cast your vote. Hi, I'm Dwayne Bradley, KPFT General Manager. I personally want to encourage you to send in your ballot. Your vote is critical. Additionally, KPFT must meet a threshold of 10% return of ballots for our election to be valid by the December 11th deadline. Not making that threshold could mean we'd have to do it all over again, so everyone returning their envelope means a great deal. You're hearing statements by candidates on KPFT right now, which are required of all stations to air. Please be aware that some of the opinions are just that, and some assertions may not reflect the views of KPFT. You are encouraged to ask questions, do your research, and cast an informed vote. If you haven't received a ballot yet and believe you're eligible to vote, call the Help Desk at Election Services Company, 1-866-720-4357. That number's posted under the Elections tab at kpft.org. And by the way, visit us there, kpft.org, for